The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Good afternoon, Kanan. How are you? How are you doing?
Good, good. A little bit what's happening in Europe now. The big story is, of course, Notre Dame.
Yes.
Bursting into flames. And there's a lot of this goes to the heart of Europe, heart of Christian Europe. But there's a lot of things that are connected to the Jews, a lot of intersections there.
Okay, tell me about that.
So, first of all, right when this thing happened, when it burst into flames, actually 23 minutes into the fire, that's when they actually located it. For 23 minutes, the fire raged and consumed large parts of the most important cathedral in Europe, as it's described, which is in itself amazing, because how can that happen in such a site? I dare to say that in any comparable structure in Israel or even in major synagogues, you have fire extinguishing and security systems that quickly localize the fire. But putting that aside, when it happened, I immediately thought back of a lecture I heard with Alain Finkielkraut. Alain Finkielkraut, perhaps you heard of him. A couple of weeks ago, he was heckled in a very violent way during a yellow vest protests in Paris. He's a philosopher. He's a Jewish philosopher. He's fairly right wing, but you know, the quintessential Frenchman, if you like. And he walked to the pavement. He saw this procession of the protesters, and someone recognized him quickly. And there was a small lynching mob that formed around him. And eventually police had to kind of extract him out of there. And he said, so they asked him during a Jewish community event, you know, what does that mean about anti-Semitism and our condition as a community? He said, people, I hate to break it to you, but there is a church burnt in France or damaged or vandalized on a daily basis. And that's probably why so many people, when Notre Dame happened, immediately went to conspiratorial theories. Some from the right wing blame the Jews and the Muslims. The Muslims blame the Christians for doing a false flag operation to blame the Muslims. You know, all this xenophobia bubbled up to the surface. Right now, it's probably it's not being ruled any case of vandalism or. It wasn't done purposely. It was probably just caught fire because of wiring issues. But the thing is, it really exposed the underbelly of French society because it hurt such an important symbol for that society.
Hmm. So it's all about Notre Dame this week. What else is happening in Europe, Kanan? Do you think that there's a future for Jews in Europe?
Actually, the jury is still out on that. Look, when we look at Britain, I think that's probably one of the most frustrating and disparaging situations for Jews, right? A safe space for Jews for centuries. Suddenly, the Labour Party becomes this toxic environment for Jews. And for the first time in centuries, British Jews are openly speaking about the prospect of leaving. That's very disheartening.
Right, exactly. And Europe's Jews. I mean, it was 70 years ago. 70 years ago, 70 plus years ago, that the world witnessed the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were murdered and the world was silent. When I look at what's happening with Europe now and the anti-Semitism that is growing on a daily basis, and it's not just happening in Europe, it's happening in Australia, it's happening in South Africa, it's happening all over the world. But specifically Europe, I find it very, very hard to find sympathy in my heart for them. Like whatever happens to Europe must happen to Europe. You know, I find it very, very hard to be sympathetic because the same vein that, and the same ideologies that brought on the Holocaust, this hatred of Jews, is still there. The Holocaust didn't change anything, Kanan.
I see what you're saying, Kathy, and I can identify with some of it. Of course, if we separate individuals, the misfortune of individuals, you can never draw any satisfaction from that. But the societies, getting what's coming to them,
comes around.
They never showed any sympathy to the Jewish people or state, you might say, or very little. And so it's difficult to find that sympathy now when they're having a rough time. Yes. But at the same time, so to look at Britain.
Come on, bring me back to the center. Make sense in my world, Knan.
I don't know if I'll do that, Kathy. But I can tell you that, look, British media, the British people, are not letting it slide. They're holding Labour to account. Imagine the same situation where nobody cared and there no front page news about Labour. Oh yeah, you know, Labour's anti-Semitic. It's totally imaginable, right? But it hasn't happened. And now Corbyn is thinking about resigning, according to the latest news, possibly in connection with also Brexit, but also the anti-Semitism scandal. So I'm wondering whether part of the lesson has been internalized. To stay on an optimistic note.
And yet you still have racial slurs against, you know, because anti-Semitism is a form of racism. The Holocaust was just the ultimate end, the ultimate conclusion to racism. And, you know, you've still got, I just spoke to a sports person now about Ashley Young, the captain of Man United, and how he's booed and, you know, and terrible racist slurs when he plays. We haven't learned. And that's in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you nailed it when you said it's the same Europe. Nothing has changed. It's only seven decades. And our problem as Jews is that we have this long memory. We have this long sense of history.
Yes.
What's seven decades? It's nothing. So considering that it's the same people in the same historical, more or less, era or epoch, I'm surprised it's not even worse.
Yeah, and are we not told every year at Pesach, Vehishamda, every generation, they're going to rise up against you? Don't think your generation's going to be different. There's your next article, Knan. Listen, have a wonderful, wonderful Pesach. Thank you so much for the time. And we wish you and your family Pesach Kasher V'Sameach.
Chag Sameach.